It starts out by saying, blessed is the man or the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It sounds simple enough. Blessed is the person who does not walk, sit, or stand this way. But the fact is that it's really easy to slide into the ways we're not supposed to go. In fact, the psalm talks about it as though it's a progression. We begin by walking in one way, we end up maybe standing in another way, and then we end up finally sitting in a way we are not supposed to. It begins by, as the psalm says, walking in the counsel of the wicked. And this starts simply enough. It's by choosing to do that which we know isn't right. It's occasionally sliding into a sin, something that might be a temptation for us. It might grab us more often than not. Examples might be, for our younger people, being at a party and taking that drink that you're not supposed to, legally, and you just know it's not right. For an adult, it might be going that one drink too far. It might be flirting with that person who, well, that's not your spouse. Or perhaps it's being with that person that you just know you shouldn't be because they aren't a good influence on you. I have a friend who I really enjoy being with, and he's a man of faith, and he does all sorts of great things for the Lord, but when he is with his brother-in-law, I can't stand being by him because his brother-in-law just brings him down. And this friend of mine, it's like his personality just changes. All of a sudden, he's walking in the counsel of the wicked. He talks poorly about his wife. He does things that are just reckless. He's just not fun to be around. He changes. This is what it means to walk in the counsel of the wicked. It starts with occasionally doing something that you know isn't right, and it takes you places you don't want to go. And as the progression of the psalm goes, it causes you to eventually stand amongst the sinners. And what this means is that you ally yourself, you become an ally with those things that you know you shouldn't do. It's from going from occasional sinful behaviors to habitual sinful behaviors. I don't know much about the whole investigation into Russia and how that's affecting our American political system. I haven't paid too much attention. But I think what has people most afraid about this whole thing is that we're afraid that possibly walking down a line is going to eventually lead us to a place where we stand in a place we shouldn't be. That perhaps having a meeting with a diplomat that you shouldn't be having a meeting with might indicate that you stand, that you ally yourself, that you are an ally of things that, well, the rest of us don't believe. I think that's the main fear behind this whole Russia thing. And that's what the psalmist talks about. Sliding into a place that we shouldn't be starts simply. It means walking once in a while, occasionally falling into a behavior that we know goes against God's word. And when we start down that road, it's a slippery slope where we can now stand with those and be allied with things that we know aren't right. It goes from occasional to habitual. In high school, I really enjoyed studying Spanish, and I took Spanish starting in seventh grade on all the way up through my senior year. And I remember my Spanish teacher talking about how the more you study, the more it'll just become part of you. And she said that a real turning point in her life when she was studying Spanish was that she actually started to dream in Spanish. That her dreams, she was speaking Spanish. And I can't even comprehend such a thing I had friends that went on into college and continued learning Spanish, and they told me that, yeah, this actually happens. I study it so much that I actually started dreaming in Spanish. This is what this progression is that the psalmist talks about. It's, you know, in Spanish, I was occasionally studying Spanish, and the more you get into it, the more you stand with it, and then it becomes a part of you. And this leads into where we go next with the psalm. It starts with walking. It continues with standing. And then it progresses to a place where you just sit in the seat of scoffers. You see, God's law, His word, His desires for how we are to live, Romans tells us that it's actually written on our hearts. It's there internal to us. When something habitual goes further and we get trapped by it, our only recourse then is, because we know these things are wrong, is then really to mock, make fun of God's word. If I fall into a sin and I know that it's wrong, the next thing I do then is, well, I make fun of that thing that tells me it's wrong. Well, that's not truly the way it is. That's just a bunch of made-up stuff by a bunch of old guys that they put in a book at one time. They were probably high as they were writing it. That isn't truly what God wants. God wants me to just be happy. You make fun of, you scoff. This is where our sin will lead us. See, Psalm 1, at its heart, is really about what you surround yourself with. It's what you are fed by, what you are influenced by, what you are directed by. It's really that saying, you are what you eat. And if you are fed by those around who pull you into sin, you will become that. You will be fed by that. You are fed either by the world or, as the psalm tells us, you are fed by God's word, God's law, His desires. Blessed is the man who does not walk, does not stand, does not sit with sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Blessed is the person who delights then, really, in what God delights in. Because that's what God's word tell us. God's word tells us what God delights in. And we delight in what God delights in. Primary amongst that, about what God delights in, it's not works. It's not our good deeds. It's not even obedience to the law. The first thing God delights in is faith. Faith. Faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you. Belief in these things. And once we have faith, once we delight in what God wants us to believe and has done for us, then we are like the tree that is planted by streams of water. We are fed by what we should be fed by. And a tree that is planted by streams of water cannot help then but to produce fruit. And that fruit is the evidence of your faith in the one who feeds you, who has done these great things for you, who gives you His word, who feeds you by body and blood. Obedience to God's desires, delighting in what God delights, is evidence of faith. So the person of faith remains then in the faith and continues to be fed by the faith by not sitting with scoffers, but by sitting amongst other worshipers, other people who believe in the Lord as you believe in the Lord. The person of faith doesn't stand in alliance with sinners, but in alliance with the one who not only calls out our sin, but has done something for it, has died for it, was crucified for it, offers us forgiveness and renewal and refreshment to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. And the person of faith doesn't walk in rebellion or disobedience, but in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. A life that is flavored with a love for God and well-seasoned with forgiveness. The Lord tells us in Scripture, though, that it is never too late to return to the one who desires to feed us, that desires to make you blessed through his Son, Jesus Christ, to feed you with his word, with his nourishment, his body, his blood, with his forgiveness, that you might know him, he might know you, and that you might delight in what God delights in. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word, which does feed us. We thank you for the body of believers that you have attached us to, which also feeds us and encourages us. Help us by your word to delight in what you delight in. Strengthen us in faith, that we might prosper in faith and produce the fruit that you would have us to produce. We pray this in your name. Amen.